in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Now, he was writing to the Roman church because of some problems that they were having. There were disagreements between the Jews and the Greeks. Most of the brethren were not Romans, they were Greeks living in Rome. And he wrote to them in Greek. And straightening out the problems that they had, there were some problems concerning marriage. There were problems concerning people who would not eat meat in that area, presumably because it had been offered to idols. Or they didn't know. It might have been offered, they weren't sure. But some became vegetarians for that reason. So he had to straighten out that problem. And yet, notice when he wrote them in Romans chapter 1 verse 8, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Oh, excuse me, that's verse 9. Verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, even though, I mean, that was the capital city, so people would have known what was going on in a capital city. But despite his troubles with them, he was also, when he talked to God, focusing in on the good. Everybody has good, and everybody has problems. And we need to focus in on the good. That's true in a marriage. Now, that doesn't mean we should never try to deal with a problem. We should. But we can become, you know, the old statement of that you're looking so much at the tree, you can't see the forest. And sometimes husbands and wives do that. They focus in on something that is a problem with their mate. And they don't think about the good. I have made a list of the good things about Lucretia and my children. And when I pray, I will often just put that on the floor and go through that with God, thanking him for my wife, my children, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, grandchildren. And I do that about you. I thank God for this congregation. You each have problems. The congregation has problems. It's not perfect. But you know, you are a wonderful group of people. And you are family. And I am extremely thankful for the Nashville congregation. Our problems are relatively small. Sometimes people focus in on the problem. Sometimes people have seen problems that really didn't truly exist except in their own mind. But overall, this congregation has many wonderful people in it who are very kind and considerate. And that's what Paul was looking at. First, what did he look at? "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And he says, and this is amazing, verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." He had never been there. They were people that he knew elsewhere who had gone there because it was a capital, on business or something else. And he wasn't there. He wasn't attending. I mean, if you think I'm the long gone pastor, you know, who doesn't care about you, what could they have thought about Paul? You know, when United first started, I was down in Florida for most of 5 months. And basically, Mr. Vernich pastored the church, even though he was still working. He wasn't retired yet. And Stan Martin assisted me. And I, for most of 5 months, I was gone. And I didn't care for that, but those people down there had nobody else. And I had been their pastor for 4 years. So that's why I ended up going. They asked me to go down there. And I understand that. Let's look in Acts 28 and verse 15. Acts 28 and verse 15. This is kind of like Lucretia and me in the Lagos, Nigeria airport. And when we looked out and saw these smiling faces holding up plain truths. Ah, that was wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful. Acts 28 and verse 15. Paul was in under guard. He was being taken by soldiers from one prison in Judea to another prison in Rome. Or at least when I say prison, he was under house arrest. And so he was being taken in chains to Rome, where he could have ended up executed. And later was. But not didn't happen to be at this particular time. He wasn't executed this time. But he didn't know that. Verse 15, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they were already in Italy, they came to meet us as far as Appia Forum and three inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when you're in a far country and you run into a member, well, it's like you ran into somebody in your own family. Even when you're just out grocery shopping and you run into a member, it's like you ran into somebody in your own family. And we can be thankful for that. But the whole point that I'm looking at and the title of my sermon is Thankful for Church Brethren. Because I don't think I'm thankful enough. I didn't grow up thankful. I did not grow up a thankful person. I think people who grow up poor tend to grow up to be more thankful than people who grow up with a silver spoon. Now, I'm always a little embarrassed here in Tennessee and in Arkansas, because sometimes people will stand around and they will tell how poor they were when they were young. Well, we, you know, had this, that, and the other, and we had to go out to the well for water. And then somebody else says, well, for years we didn't have a well. We had to walk a mile to a creek to get water and haul it up. And then, you know, then it comes back in, well, we just had two rooms. And, well, we only had one room for the longest time. And I just don't say anything. So I hesitate to say that we had maids. I never made the bed. Isn't that awful? We usually had maids. And on Sunday we had, at least we had two. So we'd come home from church and there would be the chicken. And well, my dad moved. He was colonel in the army. But his father had more than he had. And his father was very wealthy. So I had two great-grandfathers on either side. But I didn't grow up thankful. You know, you'd think somebody who grew up with an allowance and in high school, dad bought a second car. It was a convertible that I could just And my grandmother, when I went to live with her, gave me her 36 Plymouth and the keys to her 56 Chevy. She couldn't drive the Chevy because it had a stick shift off of the steering column. And she only knew how to drive the 36 Plymouth with the, you know, she could do the shift off the floor, but she couldn't figure how to do it up here. So when she needed to go somewhere, I took her. So I had the keys. But I wasn't thankful. I had to learn to be thankful. I had to learn to be thankful for the wonderful family, the spiritual family that God has given me. That's something that did not come natural. But you know, I really appreciate it. You know, I've said before, I never appreciated my parents, took them for granted. They were wonderful. I think people who don't have wonderful parents don't take them for granted. But I had wonderful parents, took them for granted. I learned to not take my parents for granted after we started having children. You know, when you have children, you realize what mom and dad went through. And when they become teenagers, you really realize what they went through and the H that I put my parents through. So I've learned to really appreciate them. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Now, when there's a division in the church, it's easy to become angry. You know, I'm just thankful that they're not going off to keep Sunday. Still keeping the holy days. Sorry they're not with us. We haven't had a big problem here. Very little. But other areas, they have. And you know, why carry hard feelings or look for all the bad? Why not just remember the good and pray for them and try to stay as friendly as possible? You have not heard me run down any of those I'm not talking about here, but my friends. You know, I have a lot of really good friends that I've worked with for years, left recently, and then some did back with David Hume. And they're people that I love. You've never heard me put any of them down. You have heard me say I am sorrowed and disagree with division. But as far as putting them down, I have not. I'm not in their shoes. You know, even if I were, there's no need to put them down. Notice what he says to the Corinthians. Now, if there is any congregation that gave Paul headaches, the Corinthian church is the church that he sent the strongest two letters corrective. They were putting down Paul. He says right in there, they were judging him. They were judging his apostleship. And yet, what does he write to them? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. What a statement. To a church that absolutely was divided, was having getting drunk at the Passover, not putting out a fornicator, brother taking brother to court, arguing over meat offered to idols, besides questioning Paul's apostleship. You would think he would just have a hard time being thankful for anything. And yet, you know, even for these people, there were good things. There were positive things. And when he went to God, he talked to God about the positive things. I'm sure he talked about some of the negatives too. But he also had things to thank God for. For the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Now he has to mention to them, though you have all knowledge and have not love, that you're nothing. So he has to bring that up in chapter 13. But he was still thankful they had knowledge. All utterance and all knowledge. They were speaking in tongues. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. And he mentions all the gifts in chapter 12 that they had. And that's when he says, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels and yet have not love, I'm just a clanging bell, tinkling cymbal. So he obviously is telling the truth. I mean, God did put this in the inspired canon, the Bible. So what Paul said was true. He did go to God and thank God for the good things. I'm sure he didn't thank God for them getting drunk at the Passover. I'm sure he didn't thank God for the division. But he did thank God for what was they had that was good. What an example. Now that would not come naturally to me, especially with the younger I was. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 and 16. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. The Ephesians didn't need quite the same degree of correction that poor Corinthian church needed. There's some in here. But he says, of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. You know, I look at that and think, do I remember every day to thank God for you? I pray for you. But I need to thank God for you every day. I try to. I usually do. Making mention of you in my prayers. Now, in this local church, I am so thankful, and I've mentioned this before, I am so thankful for those who clean the bathrooms. Now, I am thankful for those who do the PA system. And I am thankful for those who vacuum. I am thankful for those who bring flowers, who do special music. I am so very thankful for those who are willing to take the time to put together sermons and sermonettes. You know, to have had 6 congregations and not had them, but there are men here who are so willing to serve. And let me just say this. The church is willing to pay them mileage to go to Jackson or to go to Bowling Green. Not to come here, because this is their church. And IRS doesn't even allow that. They would say, well, this is your church, you'd be going anyway. And same for me. They don't, you know, IRS wouldn't allow them to pay me for driving from my house. How much would I get anyway? But basically, except with one case where it was really needed, none of them, and I've mentioned it, none of them have ever asked for for mileage, except I pushed some of them into it for going over to London. I think that's the only time I said, you need to do this, and you need to, you know, get some for, you know, whatever it is. But most of them are so willing to serve, and they're not getting a salary. And sometimes putting together a sermon takes some time. Now, it's good for them. They learn more than you do when they put together a sermon. It does them more good than it does those who are listening. Well, I'll tell you what, I just so appreciate what they're doing. And there are some men here who have been willing to go to Kingsport. What is that, a five and a half hour drive? So I know, because 2 weeks ago I got up in the morning and drove over. Lucretia didn't go, it would have killed her. And her sciatic would be, you know, might as well come home, and they shoot horses. So anyway, I didn't take her. I just got up and drove over and then drove. But there are people over there who want us to spend the night, though. They say, please come stay with us. So isn't that wonderful? That, I mean, people over there, sweet congregation. But there are people here who go over there to who have offered to go speak. And London, Knoxville is a little easier. And make that drive to Jackson. And let me tell you, the people in Jackson are really appreciative. I mean, I think all the congregations are appreciative of the men who drive there and speak. But I don't think any congregation is more appreciative than that little tiny congregation over in Jackson. They were used to mainly watching videos from the home office. About every other week, I would say, or maybe at least every third week. And we have had men who have volunteered with not too much arm twisting, have volunteered to go over. And every time I go, those people tell me how appreciative they are of the men who come over to speak to them. So they are thankful. Of course, they're an older group. And I think as we live, we learn to be more thankful. I truly believe that. So I'm not knocking you young people. I think you may be very thankful. I think you'll be more thankful 10 years from now and 20 years from now and 30 years from now for the things that you see. I think you'll be more thankful for your parents 10 years from now. I think when you have children and then you have teenagers, and it doesn't stop. You parents are concerned for their kids when their kids have kids. So, and I've learned to be thankful. So we have many here who serve, and I haven't mentioned it. Some people show up here with vegetables, put them out there for anybody to take. There are people here who visit the sick. If I'm not here, I find, well, somebody was sick and there's somebody there and I could name. But I don't know everybody. There are probably a lot of people here do a lot of things, I'm sure, that I know nothing about. But every now and then I hear of somebody who's sick or needy or such. I mean, those who are bringing their phones so others can listen in. The Duncan family, who does all this calling on the Sabbath, getting all the phones and preparing it. I just appreciate that. There are members helping members with their houses on occasion. Or with their car. Or with painting. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. I've mentioned this. Let me read verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Wow. Now the Philippian church was very different from the Corinthian church. They were a generous church that helped support Paul and had far fewer problems. So it would be a little easier probably for him to thank God for the Philippian church. They sent money or other goods to him very often. Wow. Maybe that was Lydia who was involved in that we read of in the book of Acts. Always, in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Now, they were having problems, but the big problems they were having was with the officials in the city of Philippi. That was the big problem, that they were being persecuted. The Jews were persecuting them. This is where Paul had been beaten and was thrown in prison. But he always made request for them. I'm sure he made request that they not have persecution. They were being persecuted. But he requested with joy. What was the joy? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. First day would have been Lydia. She invited them to home, asked them to stay with her. She was the seller of purple. So she was one who was there weren't enough men. There weren't 10 men. So they didn't have a synagogue. They went down by the river to pray. Sounds like a good gospel song, doesn't it? And Lydia invited them over and had them, took care of them. And then this church sent them money. It was a fairly wealthy area. Lydia was someone who actually was from Asia. That's Asia Minor now, we would call it. The province, the Roman province of Asia. Was it Thyatira? Where was Lydia from? Anybody remember? Oh, good. Stumped Tom. Stumped Tom. Anyway, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, she was not from Philippi originally. She was there selling. Philippi was a wealthy Roman colony where soldiers who had been in the Roman legions retired. And they received a lot of money. So she was there as a seller of purple. And purple was very expensive. They had to get it from snails, and it took a lot of snails to get this blue dye from them, purple dye. Anyway, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Was it Thyatira, Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Acts 16:14.
Okay. Well, I feel better about myself. I've been taking niacinamide. They say it helps your memory. Seems like it is. If I can remember to take it. Supposed to take 250 milligrams every 3 hours. Dr. David Williams is the one. Says it actually can, there have been studies, it actually reverses Alzheimer's. So, yeah, if any of you want that, I can send it to you by email or copy it and bring it. The first chapter of a book on overcoming Alzheimer's, so. Okay, it's right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. And what a thought. I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. And he explains that grace is serving. To be able to give is a grace. It's a gift of God. Grace involved a gift. Not only giving a gift, but receiving a gift. And he mentions that in chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. That giving is a gift. And they were helping him. They were giving to him and helping his ministry. He was in prison at this moment. Or I should say under house arrest in Rome when he wrote this book. And they were sending him things and helping him. Verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes your pastor's gone. But that doesn't mean he isn't in your heart. Things happen. And that happened to Paul. He was in prison. And he longed for them, but he couldn't come. They had to send somebody to him, bringing some money. And a man who almost died bringing it. And he goes on to say then in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Interesting, he talks to the Corinthians and he says they have all knowledge. And he tells them they need more love. And he talks to the Philippians and he tells them they have love and he prays that they have more knowledge. So just opposite on those two congregations. Just opposite. Which is interesting, obviously. And then going on to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What does he say to the Colossians? It's a theme. It's natural for Paul. Paul was a thankful person. I guess some of the things that had happened where he delivered up Christians to death and torture, that he realized what an absolute jerk he was and how thankful he was for the members who remained faithful. And so he says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He just went down the list thanking God. Every day. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. So they hear, for the Colossians, he hears of faith and love. You know, now here's an interesting thing. He had never been to Colossae. Never. This church was started by some people who heard him at Ephesus. And what is it, about 100 miles away to the east? That 100 miles was a lot further back then than it is today. And he just never made it to Colossae. He said he wanted to come. And he sent some people over, including Philemon. Wrote the book of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, and sent them all at the hands of Philemon and some others who went over there. And he's only heard. He hadn't been there. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Well, that was wonderful that he had had that good report from them. And he was thanking God for these people. And I'm sure he had met some of them in Ephesus, but a lot of them he had not. But he had heard about them. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and you'd say, well, this is going to be the same thing, isn't it? Yep. Yep, it's going to be the same thing. It would be easy to be cynical and think, well, this was an artifice that you put in at the beginning of a letter. You know, this is what you're supposed to write. Just like we say, dear so-and-so. When we start, well, how dear are all the people that we've sent letters to? You know, most of us have gotten to where we, in this day and age, I notice people don't start emails so much to say, dear so-and-so. It's sort of hello, hello John, hello Bill, hello Sue, whatever. Or just John, Sue, Bill, start the email. But letters used to almost always start off, dear so-and-so, even if it's somebody you didn't even know. Yeah. And you'd say, well, this is an artifice. Look, this is in the Bible. He meant this. He was not a liar. He did not just put in artifice, something that looks nice. He really did give thanks. We give thanks, verse 2, to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, he certainly had been to Thessalonica and had been run out. Had been run out of there. Been run out of Philippi, went to Thessalonica, got run out of Thessalonica. And he thanked God for them always. And this is one of the first books that he wrote, if not the first book. First book that Paul wrote. First letter he sent. And he had been run out of there. And went down to Athens. And then went down to Corinth. Got word of them. And sent this letter back up. And he says, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. They also were being persecuted by the Jews. That's how Paul had to flee Thessalonica. Because of persecution. He had to run out of the city. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. So here's another reason. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So he was thanking God that these people opened their ears and turned to God. He was appreciative of that. It's always good news. Somebody knew. Somebody knew. Which, by the way, Suzanne Dückert told me that there is somebody new who listens in, who gets all the material, but is unable to come to church because of health problems and wants to be baptized. So I hadn't even heard of it. Anybody, you know of this gentleman? Any of you? You know of him? Okay. So I told her, I've got another person counseling for baptism up in the Bowling Green area, and I've got to go see him this week because he's been waiting. And then you remember that I mentioned when I was here last, that's when Dari was here a long time ago, that my brother was hoping that I could make his family reunion at Pismo Beach, California. He said he really thought he'd live. He said, Fred, I think I'm going to be able to make it. And when he died, Sheila, his wife, and his daughter, Diana, both said, don't come to the funeral, come to Pismo. So that's, we're leaving a week from Sunday, so we just leave you, but this time it's a vacation, and with my brother's family. It's going to be hard to be there without Frank. Very hard. We've been there two or three times with Frank, so good memories. But anyway, I'm leaving you again. So I told her, at least when I get back from Pismo, I want to see, told Suzanne, to visit this gentleman who wants to be baptized. So, doesn't that really, somebody wants to be baptized, somebody new, it's just a joy. And that's what he was thanking God for. And I thank God. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. New people coming in, somebody coming out of this world, learning the truth, accepting God's word, accepting Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, not just a dead Jesus Christ hanging on a stake, which we must accept and should accept and glad to accept, but even more the living Jesus Christ who comes and lives within us because we are saved by his life. What a joy that is. And to have somebody want to do that, doesn't that just make you happy and thankful to God? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In chapter 3 and verse 9, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Wow. He mentions in verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Well, he had been run out of the city, so he was going to have to get back up there sometime, sneak in. It was a long time till he, after he wrote this letter, till he ever got back up there in Macedonia. Long time. So they didn't get to see their pastor for a long time. Now they got to see Timothy and some others who went through there, Silas and such. They were there, and Luke was with them. We don't know where all Luke was when he wasn't with Paul, but he was traveling with Paul a lot, so he may have gone up there. But what a joy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So he's writing back to the Thessalonians again. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, bound as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So they had faith and love, which he had told them before. They have faith and love. You know, they had to have some faith and love to remain faithful under the persecution they were receiving. I mean, both letters are, he's trying to encourage them. And they had some people die. You know, where he said, therefore comfort one another with these words. Now concerning those which are asleep, brethren, I would not that you would sorrow as others which have no hope. I mean, he wrote that to the Thessalonians. So they were having persecution. They had some people die. They were having troubles. And yet, they had faith and love. And he was thankful, wouldn't you be? And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. I think when there's persecution, God's people do draw together. I've heard that Mr. Meredith has said that he feels that when the churches are persecuted, that we will draw back together. I think that's true. I mean, wouldn't you, for all of those brethren that we know, whether it's in Cogwa, whether it's in Living, whether it's David Hume's group, or you could name, you know, just go down the line, Church of God International. If we heard they were being persecuted, wouldn't we all want to rush to try to help them in some way? Same thing when this poor church up there in Wisconsin, and this crazed man broke in and started shooting. I mean, weren't we all hurt? Weren't we all hurt? And I know that the pastor who was there with United immediately went to their aid. And he went with Cogwa. He's a good guy. So maybe we will. They were under persecution. Maybe we need some persecution. I'm not going to ask for it. Abounds toward each other. And then he says, verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They were being persecuted terribly. As I said, by the Jews and by the Gentiles, they were being persecuted. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You know, have them go through that and be faithful. Certainly gives you the thought that you could be thankful for their faith and their love. To hang in there. To hang in there. I may have read this before. We have a little time. No, there was a lady years ago who came over. They were on their way to the hospital down here. And I will read this. Name is Laurie Leslie. They had a little boy. He could sit up. That's it, you know. Could put a little fat boy on the floor. And he had a problem with, what was it, Debbie? Hydrocephalus, yeah. And so they were rushing him to the hospital, but they brought him by to be anointed. They're from the Knoxville area. I believe they live in Maryville, do they? What a beautiful town that is. And they put this little boy down on our carpet when we were living over at Priest Lake. And he survived a very serious operation for hydrocephalus. And she wrote this after he survived. The sky has never been bluer. The daffodils more fragrant. Nor this grass greener than in this last week. I needed the lesson I just got in understanding how precious the children are. And I'm determined never to need to learn it again. Grant just smiles all over. He has personality absolutely dripping out of his toenails. We can look back and see God's hand in so many things in Grant's life. The initial reaction is to think that's because Grant's so special. But I think the real lesson is that God's fingerprints are just as evident in each of our lives if we will only stop to look for them. I had written to her saying how happy I was and thankful. And then she says this, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. We're so happy to have our baby Grant with his big bunny teeth and eyes that squint to little slits when he smiles, to remind us of all we have to be thankful for. Sincerely, Laurie. And I've kept that for a while. Every Thanksgiving, I would remind her and send it back to her, this email she sent, because I told her how thankful I was Thanksgiving for Grant. And she sent that. And you know, there's a lot in life to be thankful for. And of course, to be thankful for each other. That we aren't alone in the faith here. Some people are. They're scattered. What a blessing we have each other.